From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. The across-the-board federal spending cuts known as sequestration are having a broad impact across the nation, with cuts to everything from military spending and air traffic control services to Head Start programs and even funding for hospitals. We'll take a closer look at how local healthcare systems in Southwest Florida are preparing and coping. Plus, state lawmakers ended the 2013 legislative session on Friday with a budget that increases funding for education and job growth initiatives, while at the same time, legislators did not pass an expansion of Medicaid under the federal healthcare overhaul. Our political analysis team weighs in on which bills got passed, which didn't, and what it means for the state going forward. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. State lawmakers ended Florida's 2013 legislative session on Friday afternoon after approving a $74.5 billion budget. The coming fiscal year will see increases in funding for education and job growth initiatives, but so far no expansion of Florida's Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act. This session also brings a myriad of new policies on everything from sweeping ethics reforms and changes to state election laws to new mandates for Florida schools and a ban on texting while driving. The dust is still settling, with the word still out on whether Governor Scott will sign or veto several measures approved by the legislature. Later this hour, our legislative analysis team weighs in with their insights on what got passed, what didn't, and what it means for Florida going forward. But first, we'll be taking a closer look at some of the economic challenges facing healthcare systems here in Southwest Florida. Hospitals around the nation are looking at ways to trim their budgets in the wake of federal sequestration cuts. The sequester, which took effect in March 1st, cuts funding across the board on everything from military spending and air traffic control services to some education initiatives and even healthcare services. According to the Florida Hospital Association, sequestration is estimated to cost Florida hospitals alone about $2 billion over the next 10 years. That's on top of an automatic 2% Medicare cut, which took effect April 1st. And as of now, it doesn't appear hospital administrators will have an expansion of Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act to cushion the impact of those cuts. Joining me now for a look at how local healthcare providers are coping is President and CEO of the Naples Community Hospital Healthcare System, or NCH, Dr. Alan Weiss. Dr. Weiss, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. Always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks very much. Appreciate being with you.
Also with us this morning is OBGYN physician and chief financial officer of Lee Memorial Health System, Dr. Larry Antonucci. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thanks, John. As chief operating officer.
Chief Operating Officer, yes.
Good morning.
And I invite our listeners to join the conversation as well. If you have a comment or question for our guests, give us a call. Studio lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And as it became more and more apparent that federal lawmakers weren't going to be able to break the partisan gridlock and come to an agreement before sequestration went into effect, what were Lee Memorial and NCH respectively doing to brace for that impact of losing 2% of Medicare reimbursements? And Dr. Antonucci with Lee Memorial, I'll begin with you.
Well, we anticipated that there would be cuts. So about 2 years ago, we started a five-year plan to take $125 million of cost out of the system, and we're almost halfway through that and making great progress in trying to remove waste from the system and also looking for revenue opportunities.
And so what does that include? Just having, you know, department heads say, you know, you need to take this much out of your budget for next year and just sort of slowly bringing that down so the impact isn't so great from 1 year to the next?
It's really more granular than that. It's actually looking at processes and saying, you know, how do we accomplish this particular task? How can we remove waste from that process and thereby lower cost?
And Dr. Weiss, NCH, have you been experiencing something similar? Is this something that you've been planning for years now?
Yeah, we've been planning for it. I got involved in this leadership position about 6-7 years ago with full anticipation that life was going to change. What surprised me is that it's taken so long. So we have been trying to be more efficient and effective using our limited resources carefully over the past few years. And with that, we've managed to get an A bond rating. We've managed to actually increase the amount of money we have on our balance sheet from about 65 days of cash on hand to about 175 days of cash on hand. Now, having said that, life is going to get even harder, and we as a country need to be much more efficient with how we're using our limited resources. When we look at the globally competitive economy, which is really what's happening right now, we're competing with China, Japan, India, Brazil. We need to be better. Senator Susan Collins, who's a Republican from Maine, spoke at the Forum Club about 3 or 4 weeks ago now. And her estimate is that Medicare will be insolvent in 11 years. So we can't continue on the way we were. You know, it was a great time to have all this money, but the government is basically out of money. They don't have enough money for Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, our armed services, and most importantly, our interest expense. Everybody in our country right now owes $53,000 to our if you take the $17 trillion that the government debt and divide it by the number of people, it's $53,000 per person. So when we all paid our taxes back on April 15th or before that time, 8% of that debt was held by China. So the interest expense, namely the interest that we're paying to China, is funding their military, which is in turn doing cyber attacks on us, according to the national news. So, you know, just think about what's happening. We're in this vicious cycle where we're paying interest expense to have other people not be real friendly towards us. We need to lower our costs. And as Dr. Antonucci so perfectly said, we've got to be more efficient. We've got a lot of the waste in healthcare. We're the only industry that has added people without adding to the productivity. You take a look at manufacturing. They manufacturing can now make a car using many fewer workers and more robots and so on. So we've got to be more efficient as a system, and that's what smart systems are doing. Now, sadly, about 10% of the hospital systems across the country are going to go out of business. Others are getting taken over right now, and even in Florida, we've had a bunch of takeovers by Bayfront back April 1st, which is in St. Petersburg. Monroe Regional, up just which is in Ocala, was taken over. They have a change in ownership and consolidation. So, you know, this is a time when one of our big strategies is to keep people out of the hospital. We want to have the healthiest community in the country. Right now, Collier County has the longest life expectancy for a woman, that's according to National Geographic last month, and the second longest for a man, which is about 8/10 of a year shorter than a community in San Francisco, the other side of the bridge in San Francisco. We have the fifth least obese area of the country, according to the Gallup poll, which came out about 2 weeks ago, half the cardiac mortality, and we've been, of the 67 counties in Florida, according to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, we've been 1, 1, 4, and 3 in terms of the last 4 years. So our goal is to become a blue zone, basically, have the longest life expectancy in the country, have the healthiest county in the country, and get out of the hospital business. You know, I go around and talk to groups, and I say facetiously to them, you know, who would like to spend, we'll give you a 2-night, 3-day stay in a hospital, and you can pick your tests, but it has to include a colonoscopy. And, you know, we don't get any takers. So, you know, picture that. Wouldn't you rather be out? Wouldn't you like to be in a county where you had a lot of walking paths? The kids walked to school in a safe cohort. You had the calorie counts on all the menu items in a restaurant, or you know, and you could use your apps on your handheld device, my Fitness Pal or whatever, to see what you're about to eat and how you're doing with your calorie count for the day. All these things are available now. Other communities are doing it. It's not about building more beds now. It's not about more capital. It's not about more overhead and operating costs. It's about getting people healthier.
Yeah, I think Dr. Weiss is really on to something. The current financing system for healthcare is simply non-sustainable. You know, we've had a system where for decades Medicare and Medicaid underpaid for their services, and the private sector has had costs shifted to them. Well, that's not sustainable, and we're seeing that diminish as time goes by. And the other point is also right on, is that the care is being shifted away from hospitals and has to be shifted to the community. And, you know, we've got a large wellness program going on right now. We're out in the community working with employers to try to raise awareness in partnership with the Horizon Council to do exactly what Dr. Weiss is talking about. It is very, very important.
That's interesting because this just goes so far beyond just, you know, crunching numbers in a budget and figuring out what kind of reimbursement you're going to get versus your cost to actually treat the patient. You're actually talking about changing people's attitudes, changing communities.
Yeah. And, you know, and the challenge, of course, is in shifting from a volume-based system where you get paid for doing stuff to a value-based system where you're paid for keeping people healthy. And bridging that gap is really where the challenge lies.
And just in terms of dollar amounts, just again looking specifically at this 2% reduction in Medicare reimbursements, that comes to $66 million over 10 years for Lee County hospitals and $47 million lost in Medicare reimbursements to Collier County hospitals. Now, LMHS and NCH are, of course, the major source of hospital beds in Lee and Collier counties, respectively, so you'll be feeling that crunch more than anyone else. Disproportionately, perhaps even more so, given our high senior population, do healthcare systems here in Southwest Florida perhaps rely on Medicare reimbursements more than hospitals in other regions or other parts of the country?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, our population is almost double over 65 in the rest of the country. So we are clearly dependent on both Medicare and Medicaid. And as bad as the sequestration cuts are, which will affect us to the tune of about $65 million over 10 years, the bigger impact is the lack of Medicaid expansion. That is potentially devastating and very disappointing.
Let's actually get into that because, I mean, as you were watching the legislative session, Dr. Antonucci and Dr. Weiss, is that something that you were, if not maybe counting on, but really hopeful would pass? I mean, what happens now as far as not having that Medicaid expansion?
Well, that battle's not over, and we really need to focus attention and get the people's attention on this issue so they understand that this isn't just about the poor. This will have devastating effects throughout the state and our community especially. I mean, we're going to face just about $500 million in cuts. And the Affordable Care Act was built with the understanding that there would be Medicare cuts, but we would get an offset with regard to Medicaid expansion so there wouldn't be as many uninsured folks out there. So now we've got the cuts, but we don't have the expansion. It really affects the working poor. You're talking about families of four who make about $30,000 who do not qualify for Medicaid now, who under the Affordable Care Act and the Medicaid expansion would. And this is about 1 million people in the state. Now, these people are not suddenly going to be well, so they're still going to get sick, they're still going to require care, and those costs are simply going to be shifted to other people. And that's going to affect businesses, it's going to make insurance more unaffordable for small businesses, and they're going to wind up dropping coverage. And that also produces an environment that's not attractive to businesses. So the ripple effect is dramatic throughout the state, and it's not just about the working poor.
Yeah, that's interesting. Wouldn't that additionally mean that you're going to have more uncompensated care from, you know, folks who, you know, because of EMTALA laws have to be treated in emergency rooms when they show up there? And again, those cost increases just get passed on to everyone.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you have people that don't have access to primary care because they don't have coverage, they're going to show up in the emergency room and they're going to show up sicker than they would have been otherwise. And again, you're absolutely right. Those costs, John, will get passed on to someone. Someone has to pay the bill.
Go ahead, Dr. Weiss.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. Now, there are all those facts are correct. There are some other studies. There's a famous RAND study in the 1970s showing that they took thousands of participants, divided them into five groups, and each group received a different amount of insurance coverage. And from, you know, very comprehensive, complete insurance to meager or almost no insurance coverage. Sadly, all the groups did about the same in terms of health care. But the insurance that Medicare originally and insurance that you'd buy for your car or for your home is meant to be catastrophic insurance. It's meant to protect you financially, not for first dollar, but for big things and things that go wrong. What's happened now is the health insurance has become first dollar insurance for everybody. So your commercial insurance, if you buy a high-end policy, you've got a couple hundred-dollar deductible and a modest copay, so it doesn't discourage you from using health care. Really, the insurance industry for health care is different than the other insurances, so that we need a whole system generation rather than just tweaking the system. Here we got Medicaid for poor folks, you got Medicare for 65 and older and disabled and commercial. We probably need to rethink the whole thing into a healthier community where the insurance is made to take care of economic catastrophes rather than the day-to-day things. People who have a high deductible typically will use less insurance and spend less money. Because, they've got skin in the game, to use the common expression. It's the moral hazard of not having skin in the game, which is the economic term. So it's a complicated problem. And I agree, no one ever expected our governor, at the last minute, it's been described as a sort of a deathbed change, that he went from not wanting to take the federal money for Medicaid to taking the federal money. And I think everybody was quite surprised when the legislature in Florida, in the House in particular, refused to take the money. So there are a handful of states that aren't taking the money. All the rest of the states, the majority of the states, are going to get that money and be financially advantaged to the ones that are not taking the money. So, as was said, it hasn't been completely played out yet. And you've got to think both short and long term. But what we're doing right now as a nation isn't going to work for anybody long term. And, we're just literally rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic long term. Originally, the hospitals and the physicians all took a 2% hit back on April 1st with sequestration, which was never meant to happen. The legislators in Washington didn't want that to happen. It was sort of just to get things passed, a year and a half or so ago. And that took hold, and, they're wondering what's happening, and you've got this huge polarization, and I don't care if you're from Mars or Venus politically, and I don't want to get political, but sure, you've got to get some cooperation to get things done for the common good of the folks you're supposed to be representing.
And Dr. Wise, this is indicative of many conversations we've had in the past where it seems like your position is it doesn't matter if you're for or against the Affordable Care Act, we have to recognize that the system as it is now is not sustainable.
I can guarantee you the folks in China who are growing now at about an 8% increase year over year in gross domestic product versus in the United States 2%, really don't care what political party you're affiliated with in America. They're just, building the equivalent of a city of Chicago each year, and we are here, sort of rearranging deck chairs and we're beginning to, as Captain Smith would say, who was the captain of the Titanic, we're sailing into the ice field. I mean, what are we thinking?
We're taking a closer look at the impacts of sequestration and other budget challenges facing hospitals here in Southwest Florida and really around the nation. We're talking with Naples Community Hospital Healthcare System President and CEO Dr. Alan Weiss, along with Lee Memorial Health System Chief Operating Officer Dr. Larry Antonucci. If you'd like to join our conversation with your comments or question, phone lines are open at 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or post your comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. And I wanted to reference a recent news press investigation that really looked into something that was kind of a symptom of a lot of the problems that we've been talking about here, and that was, repeat ER patients. Especially coming into emergency rooms in Lee Memorial Health System, and it looks like they crunched a lot of numbers there. And the news press found that the cost of treating these patients has jumped up 72% since 2008. That's kind of alarming. Dr. Antonucci, what do you think accounts for that kind of increase?
As more and more people do not have access to good primary care, as I said, they ignore their health care needs until they become catastrophic, and they're showing up in our emergency departments sicker. And so as a result, their costs are simply higher. We opened up clinics in the last couple of years out in the community, one in Dunbar and one in North Fort Myers, in partnership with United Way, to try to outreach, to provide primary care. And we've seen dramatic results. It's a small test of change, but we're seeing patients who have made 10, 12 visits to the ED in the past now with no ED visits since these clinics are open. But it really is about getting these folks into the appropriate community-based care so that they don't show up in the worst setting and in the most expensive setting to get their care.
At least locally anyway, do you think we need to do a better job of providing that kind of outpatient, I guess just the health service infrastructure? I mean, you know, you talked about opening up clinics, and then we have FQHCs like family health centers. But even if all of these folks did, have the means to go and seek treatment before things became catastrophic, do we have the infrastructure to even meet the needs of everybody in our population right now?
No, we don't have that. If I spoke to the folks at Family Health Center a year or two ago, and they're, by their own estimate, they felt that they met maybe 10% of the need. So there's an incredible need for primary care, for community-based service out there that we're just not meeting right now.
And Dr. Weiss, what about down in Collier County? Are you facing similar challenges in terms of?
Well, we are. We're growing our primary care network. We're adding about 2 physicians a month now, and also getting into teams of physicians working with nurse practitioners and physicians assistants, pharmacists, and dietary folks. It's a pit crew versus a solo cowboy working by himself. So that we're trying to increase the reach. 5% of patients across the nation use 50% of the care. So we want to get to that 5% and see what we can do to get them, number one, healthier, and number two, use less resources so that there's more resources for other things in our country. So in terms of the readmissions, we are fortunate not to have yet, and yet being the operative word in that sentence, been penalized by Medicare for readmission rates. We've been below their standards so far. But having said that, we are struggling, as is every hospital across the country, with our discharge medications. People take too many medicines in general, and they get confused, and they take redundant medicines. So we're working on a whole way of delivering the medicines to them when they leave the hospital with an electronically printed prescription, get them to a physician within a week of leaving the hospital, and get them tucked in so that they don't keep coming back to the hospital. Every time we admit somebody to the hospital, it represents a failure of the healthcare system. Hospitals in the future are going to be smaller. They're going to be for intensive care units, emergency rooms, and operating rooms. All the easy things, people are going to be cared for at home and monitored at home through telemetry. And actually, Lee Memorial has been a leader in that already.
Yeah, well, I think what Dr. Weiss is referring to is breaking down the silos between inpatient care and outpatient care and post-acute care. Sadly, in the past, when a patient was discharged, they were sort of forgotten as they left the door. And some of the things that Dr. Weiss is talking about, making sure they have their medications, making sure they have a follow-up appointment within a week, are crucial for their well-being and to prevent those costly readmissions.
And I had spoken with you, Dr. Antonucci, just a little bit and mentioned that I did work for Lee Memorial Health System for a time in the ER. And I would remember seeing folks who would come in and have a broken leg, and we could put it in a splint and refer them to an orthopedist. But if they didn't have insurance or any means to see an orthopedist, they'd be back in the ER.
Yeah.
Without an orthopedic specialist on staff, there wasn't anything that they were necessarily able to do. So it just looks like there's still a lot that needs to be done to keep folks from maybe falling through the cracks.
Yeah, and it's even worse for the chronic illnesses. You know, a broken leg is an acute illness that can get fixed and they move on.
Sure.
It's really those chronic illnesses where the congestive heart failure patients without the appropriate community-based care that just keep coming back every time they're in florid failure and require an ICU admission if someone intervened 2 days before with some diuretics, it's potentially they never needed to be admitted.
And with Lee Memorial Health System, have the readmission rates been able to stay above whatever that level is before you start getting penalties from Medicare?
Yeah, we've been below the threshold, so we've been fortunate that we started some innovative programs in the past few years. One is a telephone program where we call patients daily with specific diagnosis and have them weigh themselves and see how they're doing and make sure they're taking their medication. But those are the types of programs that are not reimbursed. but that we just have to do as we redesign the system, as Dr. Weiss was talking about.
And Dr. Weiss, NCH is doing telehealth and health education programs as well as part of that strategy. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. The more we can do with the population, the better everyone's going to be. And there's, you know, we want to learn from everyone else's best practices. No one is alone in this. And if we all collaborate and cooperate with each other, the better we are. In fact, the Florida Hospital Association, I happen to be the chairman of their quality committee right now. So we are sharing best practices among all the hospitals that want to participate in a health exchange type of area, where we are trying to decrease the number of infections that people get when they come into the hospital, either from a Foley catheter, which is drains the bladder, or from a intravenous line into the one of the big veins into the center part of the body. So all those good techniques that we're sharing among ourselves to get the whole state of Florida, which is now in the third quartile, first quartile being best and fourth being worst, as a group, can move us up a whole quartile. So that's an overall big goal for everybody.
And we're talking with Lee Memorial Health System Chief Financial Officer Dr. Larry Antonucci and Naples Community Hospital President and CEO Dr. Alan Weiss this morning about the impacts of sequestration and other challenges facing our local health care service providers. You can join our conversation with a phone call to 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Or find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And I had read actually that rating agencies had found that for-profit hospitals were going to be able to weather these recent rate cuts, the Medicare 2% cuts and impacts of sequestration, better than nonprofit healthcare systems. I was wondering if either of you could weigh in on why that might be.
Well, as a public not-for-profit, we are a safety net. So as a result, we certainly have to take all comers. And we also operate a trauma center, which operates at a net loss of about $6 to $9 million a year.
Yeah,
so there are things that we do as a safety net that the for-profits don't necessarily have to do.
You know, and just to sort of add to that, culturally and personality-wise, we're also a not-for-profit, and our board, which is a community board, charges all of us, in all 4,000 of my colleagues, number one, provide high-quality service; number two, care for everyone; and number three, have a modest profit. Now, we get paid for helping people, which is a mindset. Getting paid for taking advantage of people is a different mindset. Mm-hmm. And you look at the for-profit hospitals that aren't doing full service, such as psychiatry, such as a big pediatric unit, those areas are basically money losers. But you know, mental health is pervasive in America today. We have 79,000 children under the age of 18 and under in Collier County, and if we have a drowning victim, we can't ship them out of the area. Having said that, that is a huge cost. So that we balance, and earlier in our conversation we talked about balancing what the commercial insurance companies are paying versus how we're losing money. So that, you know, we had a last year audited financials, and they're on our internet site, nchmd.org. We had a 4.5% profit margin. Most likely this year we'll turn in a 2% profit margin. Next year I'm not sure what we'll be at. So we could make a lot more money. We just stopped taking care of kids. We stopped psychiatry. We stopped some of the other community services we're doing. And we also get a little tougher in the ER in terms of people coming in who can't afford payment. We tell them, well, we'll take care of your acute problem, but either get insurance or come back with a few hundred dollars in your pocket, both of which are not possible, and we'll continue your care. We don't do that. We end up taking care of it, and as equally important or even more important is our 630 physicians who cover the emergency room also take care of these patients. And they do it, for the most part, very willingly, and you know, we do have a little compensation for covering the ER, but having said that, most of our physicians are very philanthropic in terms of providing care for folks who can't afford care otherwise.
Well, we are running close to the end of the conversation, but let's take a call here from Kelly in Naples. Kelly, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Hello, I have have both a question and a comment. My first question is, I heard a profile on NPR not long ago about a hospital. I'm not sure what city, but they noticed they had a lot of parents bringing their children in over and over to the ER for asthma, asthma-related problems. So they put a program together to take the children or to go into the family's homes and try and help them rid their homes of allergens. Like they showed them how to use HEPA filters and get rid of the cockroaches, and they noticed a precipitous drop in ER visits. And I think some of them said they actually never came back to the ER. And I wondered, one, if you had any plans of doing that in Lee and or Collier County. And then my comment is, my son, when he was four, had a catastrophic head injury. He had a bleed on his brain and a clot. And I noticed how so many people use the ER as a primary care facility when he was being triaged. You know, he was dying. And, we were sitting there waiting behind people with a cold and an earache and the flu. And, you know, they were sort of waiting for him to get worse, I guess, before they treated him. But, you know, afterwards I said, gosh, here I'm sitting here watching people with an earache or the flu. And here's my son, you know, he ended up being blown up to all children. But, you know, I noticed how many people were just sick in that ER and thinking, you know, they could have taken care of this yesterday at their primary care physician's office. And then my son wouldn't have, you know, been in such dire straits. So, and I will take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Kelly. Oh, go
Kelly,
ahead, Doc.
Yeah, I hope your son's doing well. I'm sorry to hear that story. That is very, very interesting, you know, the asthma story, because we noticed a similar situation with our own health plan, that we found that our pediatric asthma patients had higher admissions than needed, and we discovered it was because our copay was preventing people from seeing their pediatric pulmonary specialist. So we reduced the copay, we gave away the inhalers, and we noticed a precipitous drop in admissions. And these are the types of things that we need to do. And we can do that now because we're getting better data. And we can follow that data, we can analyze the data, and we can find these hot spots, as Dr. Weiss mentioned before, find out where the inappropriate hospitalizations are occurring and target them and really do something about them.
This is Alan Weiss. I hope your son is doing well. A couple of thoughts. Number one, just as everyone is talking about, asthma is a chronic recurrent illness. We did the same thing, actually, trying to get children healthier with the Safe and Healthy Children's Coalition of Collier County. Basically, we went out to three of the schools in Golden Gate and East Naples. The children ran a equivalent of a marathon. Now it's over 12 weeks. We gave the parents and the kids information about a better diet, more exercise, and so on. So the preventative part in children makes perfect sense. I literally have them sitting in front of my computer right now, and I have a four-minute interval. I can see exactly what's happening in both of our emergency rooms at any one time. So currently we're in a green zone where our mean time, our average time to come in and be fully through the emergency room is 2 hours and 20 minutes, and the average time, door-to-doctor time, is 16 minutes right now. And this I can get 24/7 on my handheld device. We watch it very closely, and we staff for that. Having said that, no question emergency rooms are sort of the court of the last resort and do get misutilized. We do screen very carefully if somebody comes in with a heart attack, a child with a head injury, goes way ahead of the person with a neck ache or a cold or a low back or whatever. So we do screen and we triage based on a serious set of criteria so that we want to move folks in quickly. We're very proud of how quickly we can do that now.
Well, that is unfortunately all the time we have for this conversation this morning, but I want to thank my guests, Naples Community Hospital President and CEO Dr. Alan Weiss, and Lee Memorial Health System COO, Chief Operating Officer Dr. Larry Antonucci. Thank you both for being with me.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, my pleasure. Good to talk to you, Alan.
Thanks.
And we're taking a short break, but when we return, our legislative analysis team weighs in as the dust settles on Florida's 2013 legislative session. That's just ahead. Stay with us.